What are some of the things that people should look out for when establishing whether a website is a scam or a legitimate website?
The domain itself. Typically, a brand will have a pretty straightforward domain.
Is the user experience the same across each of those different websites?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we obviously mimic the same template across all of our brand sites across all regions.
How do you work the emails? Like, do you flood the inbox of customers?
We give an incentive for them to sign up in the first place, which is...
Welcome to the Comfort Walk and Talk, where every step towards comfort is a step towards a healthier you.
We're your hosts, Ash,
Jeff,
and Ben.
Together, let's walk the talk, transforming your lives from the ground up.
Welcome back to Comfort Walk and Talk. My name is Ash, and we have Jeff here. Today's special guest is the head of e-commerce and online digital media for Comfort Co. A very special guest. He's had over a decade of experience when it comes to the world of e-commerce. He's also a very avid gym junkie. He's a former Subway sandwich artist, and he's also a new dad to be in the next couple of months. So please welcome Nathan Coobridge. Hey, Nate, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Ash.
When did you, you know, start doing e-commerce in Global Footcare, the Comfort Co? You know, what was the first site?
I started, we had our developers build the AuthorSleeve website on WordPress, and we were selling compression sleeves. We started off the first couple of months, we started off 50 to 100 orders in a month, and we started off no integrations, I guess very low security at that point. We were taking the payment details manually and processing them, which is a bit of a security issue these days. We've definitely gotten a lot smarter since then, better practices.
And when you said security issue, what are some of the, you know, in payments, what are some of the things that you've seen over the time in terms of security and payments and all that? What are some of the problems that you've seen?
Some of the problems in early days was there was a lot of data breaches, a lot of people's personal information like credit card numbers were being stored in the back end of websites, and that wasn't best practice. So it was quite easy for a hacker to steal people's personal payment information.
So how's that changed now?
A lot of websites are integrated with external payment processing companies who have really high security practices, I guess, where they store their information securely, encrypted data, and makes it a lot harder for someone to steal and find the information.
What are some of the things that people should look out for when kind of establishing whether a website is a scam or a legitimate website? Are there any factors that they should look out for physically online?
One of the things is the domain itself. Typically, a brand will have a pretty straightforward domain, and a lot of these scam websites use something that isn't a straightforward domain as a domain name. Other things to look for is professional content. If you see a website is just sort of copied and pasted content and the format's off, the language isn't right. You got your HTTPS protocol as well. If you don't have that lock symbol next to the domain, especially on the payment page, payment methods is another important thing. Having secure payment methods available for a consumer to use. If you don't see those, then that's a bit of a red flag. Pricing. If pricing's it's the old statement too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, typically it is too good to be true. Things like that.
How does that scam work? I've seen some things during the business where you've had someone buy a lot of shoes, and then how's the scam in that? They buy a lot of shoes, and they pay for it. Is the credit card refused? Is it in the end? Is that what happens? And the shoes are sent, or there's some.
Is that a scammer who's stolen someone's payment information and placed an order on a legitimate site?
Yeah.
So typically, there's a couple of reasons they do it. One of them is just to test if the payment information that they've stolen works.
Yeah.
And in which case they'll then be able to use that data for a much higher value purchase before the card gets cancelled. But sometimes they try and make as many purchases as possible within a small time frame. They've got a fake address in there, and they're passing off as a different customer. just to try and obviously obtain as much merchandise as possible.
What should a website provide someone to know that they're dealing with a legitimate website in the end? I mean, they can look and see the domain and the professional content and all that, but like, should they be able to speak to someone?
Yeah, I mean, live chat is probably important. If you see a live chat option and you can talk to someone in real time, that's always going to give the consumer confidence, I guess, that it's a legitimate website. I guess showing correct address details of the business somewhere, contact information like phone number.
Do we provide our phone number
email address
on our website?
Yeah, we have our phone number. We have our physical address of our office, email, like a good contact us page is important. If you don't have that, people don't have like a way to contact the business that they're purchasing from, that's a really big red flag. And that happens quite often. We see some of the consumers who have purchased from a scam website who are passing off as our brands, they often come to us thinking, because there's no way to contact the scam website that they originally purchased from.
Let's talk about as well the collection of brands that belong to the Comfort Co. And when it comes to our main audience, it is online. We are a major, you know, we have distributors across Australia, but we have a huge online presence. And as you said, you know, it's grown since the early days of, you know, the first one being OS First and then, you know, the Vionic website. But obviously we've had a number of brands, a number of different demographics. And in looking at the different, maybe potentially older demographics of our Revere brands, our Shoal brands, being an online e-commerce business in a lot of ways, how has that changed? How have you seen that change? The trust in those brands online in the last few years, when especially since COVID and everyone's had to buy their shoes, you know, in 2020, 2021, online in a lot of ways. How have you seen that business grow online?
There has been that shift that people have had to make with COVID to buy online. In order, if they wanted to buy a pair of shoes, they couldn't access them through a retail physical location. They had to make the purchase online. I guess it's just we've had to adapt in ways to make the process a little bit easier and like less resistance, I guess, by providing more information, like more customer support. If they ask questions about, you know, is it safe to buy online? How do I find my right size online? I guess we just provide them more information to make that process a lot easier, to make it a little bit more of a retail experience online.
And let's say that, like, when it comes to sizing, that their size is incorrect. What's the return policy like for Comfort Co?
Our policy is we offer a free return or exchange per order.
Right. So it makes it super easy. If they want to return it, then...
That resistance there about if I get my size wrong, do I have to then pay for a return? Do I have to go through, like, that hassle as well? Yeah, we give them a prepaid return label, like Australia Post return label. They attach it to a carton, take it to the post office, and it gets returned to us, and we process it within 5 working days of receiving it back, either the refund or exchange. So giving them that option, I guess, drops a lot of that sort of barrier to buy online, helps them feel a lot more confident.
So with on the sizing question, I know there's statistics where some footwear brands, you know, companies have up to like 40% return ratio. I think our the Comfort Co is a lot less, but that's one of the biggest issues with going to a shop versus online is, I don't know my right size. I'll find that, I'll try it on, I'll know exactly the right size. So what are some of the things that is happening now online, and what are some of the things that we're doing to help that, to fix that problem or mitigate that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, one of the reasons return rates can be so high, it's sort of they can offer an easy return process. So someone might buy 2 pairs of the same shoe in different sizes and return one, and that obviously increases return rate. But I guess one way to sort of mitigate that is some of the advanced technologies that are providing a much easier way to find the correct size in relation to a particular pair of shoes. One of the examples is we use the Size Right widget on our website, The Comfort Co, which allows a user online to use their smartphone to take a photo of their foot next to something credit card sized, and it uses an algorithm to identify the length and width of their shoe, and we have measurements of our footwear that measures against that size that gets predicted by the algorithm, and it helps the consumer purchase the right size for a particular pair of footwear. And that way they don't need to buy two pairs of shoes and return one. That way they don't buy the wrong size and have to return for an exchange. More times than not, they're buying the correct size.
And do they keep that size? Do they get information that tells them for future reference when they go into the website, or?
Yeah, so if they're logged into their customer account, that information gets stored on their customer account.
Amazing.
So when they log in next time, it will predict and it will say that you should buy a size 8.5 in this particular pair of shoes, for example.
Okay. And is there any other advancements happening with foot-fitting, foot sizing and all that?
There's other things like, augmented reality is something that we haven't really looked into yet, but that's something, it's an emerging technology that can help in that area. But something that we're looking at the moment, that we're looking at implementing over the next couple of years through some retail stores, some retail partners, is a scanning technology, I guess. So it's a quite a comprehensive scanning device, and it will actually be able to obtain a 3D footprint, looking at pressure, arch profile, length and width of someone's foot. And it will be able to store that information into a database that will eventually link to that customer's profile. You can take a 3D scan of a particular pair of footwear and measure that against someone's 3D foot profile and suggest the right pair of footwear that would suit in lots of different areas. It might suggest a different pair of shoes based off your foot profile.
And what would you say are some of the benefits of buying online versus going into a store?
I guess speed of purchase. Mm. You don't have to obviously walk into a retail store. Mm. Range. The range can be a lot more diverse and wide. We can offer our entire range. We're at a retail store, obviously, they've got a certain stocking model. They can't stock everything. Mm. Operating hours, 24/7, 7 days a week.
You can buy it late at night and have it the next day.
Yeah, exactly. I guess there's, as I said, there is virtual try-on opportunities. Augmented reality is something that's emerging as well, which will enhance the process as well, the experience for the consumer as well.
I suppose too, like you said, that I think for a lot of people too, when they walk into a department store or a physical online store, physical store, there is that element of, I feel a little bit, do I have to buy it? You know, if you're trying on the shoes, and you're probably a bit more to feel more obligated to talk to the salesperson behind the desk. Whereas if you are online, I imagine it's a lot more of a, hey, I really like that. Or like you said, there must be like a ton of different options to you when it comes to colors and the range and things like that as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how we, obviously we have, Comfort Co has, retail partners as well in the brands. How's e-com partnering with shoe shops? How are we sort of augmenting their business?
At the moment we have a store locator on our websites.
Okay. And is that prominently seen? Is that?
Yes, and it's something that we're actually working on at the moment to improve the functionality as well, to allow a visitor to our website to actually identify what brands are being stocked at certain retail stores, to make sure that, when they actually visit the store, that they can actually get what they're after, but.
Like, is a lot of the imagery stuff that we use on the online site, because it's growing a lot, I want to come back to the imagery requirement actually and stuff like that, but is a lot of that going into the retail stores as well for their own websites and so forth? Are we supporting that activity a lot?
Yeah, we provide all of our dealers and our retail partners, all of our assets in terms of like lifestyle imagery around our brands, product imagery, videos that we create. We have a really sort of good dealer resource center that offers them the ability to access and download all of our assets to use on their own channels and their own social media channels.
And it's growing too. Like, Comfort Co is in how many countries now?
Comfort Co. We run the Australia, New Zealand, Singapore division, mm-hmm. and we're growing that. I think we're partnering with some other countries as well.
We're looking at the UAE and also potentially the USA. Yeah.
Is the user experience the same across each of those different websites? Like if you're in Singapore on Vionic and you're in, you know, in Australia on the Vionic website, do they get the same customer experience across those platforms?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we obviously mimic the same template across all of our brand sites across all regions. I mean, obviously taking into account different shipping across Australia, New Zealand, Singapore requirements there, different return requirements. Customer service has to adapt a little bit as well to obviously speak to the consumer differently in different countries. But, yeah, the user experience is typically kept as much as possible, streamlined and the same across all regions.
Do we ship from like Australia to New Zealand or Singapore?
In order to offer a full range, Australia obviously manages a much higher portfolio of product in our warehouse here. We don't stock the same amount in our New Zealand, Singapore locations. So we do offer a dropship option to send the product from Australia to a New Zealand consumer so we can offer the full range in all three regions.
Let's talk about the storytelling aspect that comes along with e-commerce and the online world. You know, when you're in a department store, you lose a lot of that, the vibe and the energy and the story that's gone behind the brand. Do you find that having an online website and having an online presence allows you to tell the story of Vionic and Revere and Shell and all of those other brands in ways that you could never do if you were in person?
I guess, from the department store example, you do get very limited space to explain and show the story of the brand. So I guess from an online perspective, you've got your social channels, you've got your website, which has a lot of sort of space for you to show content and the story, I guess.
Mm. I suppose that allows people
to... consumer-friendly way.
Yeah, it allows them to invest more too, I suppose, in who the brand is and learn more about it in ways that they
never exactly. Would. Yeah. And then you got obviously opportunities to retarget them with more information through paid strategies as well.
Right.
After the fact. Yeah.
Why are reviews important? Because I know that's an important initiative to have customers review the product. Why is that important?
From a consumer's point of view, I mean, it really just, it's showing proof from real buyers of the product. Other people who bought the product, it provides them, I guess, a level of confidence. If they're saying a product is good and giving you a reason why, maybe it relates to the reason you're looking to buy a product, I guess. I guess the more proof of something you can provide a user, the more trust they will have to make a purchase.
Okay. And all the websites too, I mean, I know our ones do, and they all pretty much offer at the beginning, like, join our newsletter. And often the first reaction is, it's another email coming. It's guaranteed another 10 emails. So how do you work the emails? Like, do you flood the inbox of customers with emails?
With emails and like a lot of other sort of marketing channels, I guess you got to give them a reason to want to sign up in the first place and then a reason to stay.
Yeah.
So as long as you're providing them emails that sort of they might enjoy reading or get something out of reading, then they were likely to stay, I guess, on your email list. But obviously, well, we give an incentive for them to sign up in the first place, which is a discount off their first order online. And then it's just about us sort of nurturing them and making sure we are providing them content that they want to read or look at through emails. Yeah.
What do you think is next? Like for the next, obviously it's changed in the last 10 years, you know, the world of online shopping versus in-store. What do you think the next 10 years looks like?
It's a big question. Isn't it?
It's very big.
Just because of how quickly technology is advancing.
Yeah.
I can't really – virtual showrooms is going to be, I guess, really important, especially for the fashion space, the footwear and apparel.
Do you think that the online stores will take over as the main source of shopping, or do you think that there'll always be a place for
both? Definitely still think there's growth in online, that it'll start taking more and more of a share of sales, I guess, overall retail, but I still think there is a place for physical stores. I just think, you know, just an online retailer really needs to just keep focusing on improving its omni-channel experience, so doing a lot more in terms of developing its online channel and making sure that it's still has that focus on physical retail as well, and combining the two to improving that omni-channel experience.
No, I mean, that's a good point you make, because we do see a lot of e-com businesses that started as e-com that have actually opened up stores. So I guess that comes to the reason, like what you were talking about before, about, you know, if you want to do a scan which is going to help your online experience, you need to have them go somewhere.
Mm, yeah.
So that's part of it, isn't it, really, that whole...
I still think there's definitely still a need for physical stores. It's just, yeah, how we can sort of optimize the experience from an online point of view. Give the I think omnichannel is just very important.
What is omnichannel, just for the listener? What does that mean?
It's combining the physical and it's the multi-channel, I guess, approach. So so
it's a digital channel.
I mean, I work at it from a digital point of view.
And a physical retail shop.
Yeah, I guess. So, like, as an example, we opened up the Vionic retail store, and we synced the two systems, I guess. So we had one customer profile synced across both the physical retail store and online store. And so we were able to use that information. Like, they could access the orders that they placed in store and online in one location from their one account dashboard. We were able to sort of sync a rewards program across both. So if they purchased in store, they would earn rewards points and increase their loyalty status, I guess, and same with their online purchases. So it's just trying to provide, I guess, one fluent, congruent system for that, if that's the right word I use.
Yeah.
Can I ask why e-commerce for you? Like, you know, you have a very strong history and background in law and business. Why do you like coming to work every day?
It was more, I mean, I had a background in law and accounting, I guess, and finance, but I was more interested in that field.
Mm.
IT background, I was always very interested in. And again, I was pretty good with IT. And I guess the need was there in this business to develop our first e-commerce website. I guess, and I just sort of jumped into that, and it's a real big growth in the business. Mm. And I was just really excited to try and grow that.
And it's now, how many brands do we have?
Retail brands that we really focus on. We have seven retail brands that we focus on from an e-commerce perspective.
Mm.
And we have the Comfort Co. as our multi-brand store, I guess. In three regions. So that means we're managing 24 different websites. So it's quite...
Do you have any personal... you know, goals for the company over the next few years? Like, you mentioned augmented reality. Are there any areas that you'd really like to try out in the next few years and see what happens?
At the moment, we're still very much in our development stage, I would say. So it's really just me. It's just focusing on improving performance, user experience.
Yeah.
And just developing all of our brands.
The user experience is underrated.
Yeah.
I think when we...
Like, the difference between... like a 2-second page load time is huge.
Yeah.
You notice the drop-off numbers there when
right.
The page load is slow, the checkout experience is clunky and slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that relates to customer service, and then, you know, there are a lot of complaints and then they don't come back again.
Yeah.
So it all counts, doesn't it?
It is. It's all this optimization to try and increase conversion rates.
Yeah.
Really, at the end of the day, I mean, the focus for me is obviously improving sales. Sales is one of the big targets for me, but... in order to do that, the focus is on the user experience, the user journey, understanding that, understanding what our demographic is and the latest technologies out there, and try and find a way to implement them. Automation's a big one. Automation can make and break, you know. If we didn't have automation between our ERP, our product information system, and our e-commerce platforms, you know, we wouldn't be able to be as big in terms of order volume, you know. We'd be able to manage that process, the fulfillment. Yeah.
What are some of the ways we talked a little bit about change over, you know, that you've seen, but the ways of getting, you know, telling people about the website, what are some of the ways that have changed? What are the marketing ways? I know that, you know, Ash is heavily involved in social media, and how's all that changed? You know, what's going on? Because that seems to be a moving target.
It's kind of hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
Obviously, your traditional digital channels is still relevant. Google is still a big one, you know, making sure you're you're improving your SEO for your organic search, and then the
SEO is it?
Search engine optimization.
So what does that mean? Just
it's just sort of understanding what people are searching for and trying to optimize the data or the content.
Okay.
I guess that's the hard part, right? There are so many channels now that it's how do you cut through? How do you get the brand to be seen?
And then how much can you actually focus on at one time? Mm. You know, how much resource do you have to be able to focus on all these channels? What channel is going to be the best for your demographic and your product?
Sure.
So for us, what we understand is Facebook, Instagram, a little bit of TikTok, a little bit of YouTube and Google. So those are our big focus channels, but there's so much out there, and I guess you just have to try things and see what works for you and what doesn't.
So user experience on the websites, you know, and I guess in other digital media, what are some of the content things that the customers are asking for? You feel the customers. So typically I know, let me start the question by saying, we used to set up a website, you got an image of a product, a couple of angles and a little bit of words about what it does and a price, you're good. What's changed?
I guess the quality of the content is important these days. People expect quality content. It's more professional. The other thing is aspirational content. So sort of showing them the product used in an aspirational way, something that they would aspire to, seeing it on someone's foot, seeing it in a certain setting that is relevant to that particular product, and I guess making the product more desirable, I guess, to a consumer.
Okay. And how do we, you know, there's obviously, you know, we have our own websites, but there's other websites out there. So how do you work with other websites in terms of some of the brands that we have, you know? And what are some examples potentially?
As in using the other
third party, like marketplaces. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to, like for example, we partner heavily with The Iconic with a few of our brands. So they're one of the biggest fashion footwear sellers and websites in Australia, I guess. And so we use them to target their audience, which is different to our audience that we normally target. So I guess it just enhances our reach, I guess. So we use those websites.
And do we provide the content for them, or how does that work?
In some cases. I mean, we obviously, we sell through lots of different partners like Kogan, MyDeal, eBay, Catch, Amazon, Iconic. Okay. And it really depends on their platform and what they're set up to take from us. The more content we can provide, the better. But yeah.
And is Amazon growing in Australia?
It is growing. What I deal with, obviously, specialty footwear. So that particular category on Amazon is a tough one to really grow. I think Amazon itself, though, is growing. Yeah.
I suppose that's a big part of like what comes next in keeping your ears open and your eyes open to, okay, this is a new platform. This is where the world's headed, and we need to be on that website. We need to work with that marketplace in particular, and you know, it's evolving every single day.
It is. Yeah, you just keep your eyes open and look for opportunities.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks everyone for tuning in to the Comfort Walk and Talk podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Comfort Walk and Talk. If this episode has stepped up your footwear game, we'd love your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And don't forget to subscribe on your favourite platform so you never miss a step on your journey to comfort.
And for more insights, follow us at our social channels at The Comfort Walk and Talk. Walk comfortably until we meet again.